This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Tonight on Murder, She Wrote.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I certainly have gotten on people in the past for not really, you know, preparing for broadcasts and actually being very... last minute, and I wasn't last minute today, but I am mad at myself for this reason and this reason only.
Mm-hmm.
I am making things difficult, just like this, that don't need to be difficult. I make things that technology nowadays is so simple that I go into a cheap, flimsy motel room, and I plug two things into a computer, and here I am. Yet, because of my lack of preparation, even when it comes to getting in the shower, getting out of the shower, putting my shoes on, and going down to the car, where I was going, Stubby, I'm going to kill you. Lie down.
Mike, he's a sweet boy.
He's
patience.
Not. He is. You want him? You want
him? Yes. Bring him. I'll take him.
You'll take him?
Sure.
I'll give Linus, him to you.
We have to put Linus down soon anyway, so...
If you want Stubby, he's yours, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Can we? Can you mail him?
I'll drive him.
That'd be great.
We can poke some holes in the box.
We can have lunch, and yeah. I'll take your dog.
I'll take you out to lunch, and I'll give you my dog.
No, if you're driving, I'll take you to lunch. I mean,
no. I if you're taking this dog off my hands, I'll buy you lunch. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are sitting here on the road in Orlando, Florida, with six mammals in the house.
That's too many.
Too many. Worst night of sleep of my life. Not even close. Terrible.
What was the distribution of bodies? I guess the dogs were on the floor.
We have double beds.
Okay.
We have double beds.
Like two queens?
That would be nice. No, they're double beds.
Oh, okay. Oof.
Would they be queens? All right, you tell me.
We lost your radio. Is he going all the way?
There he is.
Oh, there he is.
Okay. He just knocked himself out.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
You see the queens now.
That's a full. That's not a queen.
Yeah, I think that's a full.
Yeah, that's a full, right?
I think Josh is right.
That's a full.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
That's what our grandparents thought was a big bed.
Carla and myself and the dogs periodically up, down, whine, up, down, mm-hmm. whine a little more, whine, up, down, whine, 4:30, whine, get up, get down. And then in the bed next to ours, Michael and his teammate Dylan,
right.
who made the trip with us yesterday, and it's just...
It's a lot.
Maybe you can hear it. No, he won't now. No, you won't now.
Now, quiet.
Now I want you to because you're an asshole.
No, he's a good boy. He does the best he can. He's out of his element. He's probably upset.
I don't like traveling.
The boys have a big game today. Did they get sleep?
I think they did better than Carl and I did. And I think in descending order, I think it was Michael and Dylan and Carla, then Carla, then me. I was up at 4, about 1:15, then 4:30, then 5:15, 5:30. And then I was up for good.
Do either of the boys snore?
The dog snores.
Yeah, but you're used to that.
But I didn't hear. I was not even aware of the boys.
Okay, good.
I wasn't even aware of the boys other than we got to the hotel. We told them both to take a shower and get into bed. And the giggling and the fun and the giggling and the fun. And then they went off to sleep relatively quickly. And then so they are ready to go. They're just put the uniform on, head over. Everybody is down in I won't mention the facility I'm in, but I think I mentioned it yesterday. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we'll put out the GPS coordinates.
Yeah. So they're at breakfast now
with the free crap breakfast.
It's a continental breakfast.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's a free breakfast, and they charged me for the dogs last night. And then what else happened?
How much of an upcharge for the dogs?
$25 for each night.
Wow, for both of them. Each?
Don't know.
Oh, no.
I think it's just one charge. Because it's a clean-in charge.
I think it is one charge. So that's good. And then,
How was the drive? All the baseball gear and...
We got a late start, and it was tight because of the equipment and all that. And all in all, Mrs. O'Mara was the wheel person. And it started out, she said, do you want to drive? I said, you insist on driving. For every single drive, the boys are coming in right now, and the whole group is here now. Hi, kids.
Hi.
All right.
Did they bring you some Continental?
Come on over, everybody. Say hi.
Did you bring me something from the pancake machine?
Huh?
Say hi. Hey, godson.
All right. Hey, there you go. I can adjust it. Dylan, come on in and say hi. Hi, Dylan. Hi. That's Dylan.
Hey, Dylan.
Home run hitter, Dylan, right there. Absolutely.
Slugger.
Slugger. What?
Big Poppy.
Absolutely. So that's cool. So they're all here. Where are you guys going now?
I'm gonna go walk the dogs.
All right, and you guys are gonna hang out, watch this.
That's your way of saying leave.
Yeah, get out of here.
Why don't you boys go and explore?
Go get into trouble.
Go get into trouble. That's it.
Go talk to the manager about the square eggs you just ate at the Continental breakfast.
Right. So how many pancakes?
Okay. Here you go. Right here. Nope. Sorry, gotta be honest.
Was it supposed to be coffee or tea?
It's coffee. Yeah. But it's okay.
Will you give Michael a message for me?
You know, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show. Wait, before Michael leaves, hold on, open the door. What's the message, Rob? Because they're in the hallway.
Dat biga.
Dat biga. Oh, dat biga. They're in the bathroom. Dat biga.
Kids are great.
Dat biga. What is it? Dabiga.
Dabiga.
You know, Josh is good at this. It's not hard to do. There's no reason I should have been late. There's no reason I should have been tardy. It's plug and plug. And I was right about the cable situation.
Mike, keep in mind, it was not you. We would have been perfectly off time if the software didn't require a reset.
Yeah.
Because you were doing everything right. And, you know, sometimes you got to do it.
Well, so you just got to build that into the habit.
Yeah, I'm going to, so this is it. I am delighted. This little thing I bought a long time ago. Was this a Soroka purchase or was this a Santana purchase? I'm not sure.
No, this was a new purchase.
I think a Carla purchase.
Yeah, I think that's the fancy lights.
It's a Fee Fine.
Yeah,
microphone. Fee Fine. That's what you use, right, when you're on the road? Or do you have a new one?
I have a Shure I use on the road.
And I use a Yeti.
But Fee Fines are good. They're like, it's amazing how good a $25 microphone is.
Well, and you roll everything through it. So anyway, that's technical behind the scenes. Let me minimize this so I can welcome all the people on our YouTube channel. Welcome, friends. Great to have you with us. Let me see. Bruins Rules, first laugh of the day says, sounds like George W. Bush. Nagata. Big gag.
Can you believe that after all of the nonsense and as many years ago that was, that Dana Carvey is still like relevant?
Well, Dana Carvey's funny, and he's a veteran, and he committed on Saturday Night Live, and
I saw it the other day. Do you remember Massive Head Wound Harry?
Oh, yeah, that was a great one. That was one of my favorites. I watched. Did you see The Listener? I should have shared it.
What's that?
I was on the road. This was lying in bed surfing when we got to the hotel. Uh-huh. And The Listener that sent the parody from decades ago of Mark Russell, and they tracked completely with us. Josh, if you may, look up Saturday Night Live Mark Russell sketch. And I think Josh will have it for us. Is it
merciless?
Rob, it's our take.
Oh my God, really?
And because we were DC people, we had a very local take on exactly what it was.
They had sort of a DC lean for a while. Because remember, the McLaughlin Group, even though that was a national thing, it was
McLaughlin,
McLaughlin Group was absolutely a DC thing.
Yeah, that
started
was
DC. I mean, and that was a whole bit. Yeah,
The McLaughlin Group was a national show. Don't get me wrong, but it was based in that insider Cokie Roberts kind of situation,
inside the Beltway type deal.
But Mark Russell was really primarily, did he do national television? Yes, he did. Was he on national television? Yes, he was. But primarily, he was a local entertainer that was that's the giving tourists him all the, would go see.
That's giving him all the best of it.
You're gonna, but they promoted him this way, Rob, and you are gonna laugh your ass off.
I can't
off
wait
when
to
you
see it.
This. This is really funny.
He's Mark Russell, America's funniest political satirist, and he's back on PBS with a brand new election year comedy special.
I understand that Al Gore's planning to run for president in the year 2000. President Gore, he's such a bore. What's he stand for? Why does he look sore, President Gore?
That's it.
Time Magazine says if you look up comedy in the dictionary, there should be a photo or other likeness of Mark Russell.
Old Bill Clinton had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, with a crime bill here, education bill there, here a cut, there a cut, everywhere a budget cut.
Newsweek Magazine
the smile.
Mark Russell, a do you know? Woody Allen, Lenny Bruce, and Richard Pryor. Only a lot funnier.
According to the latest polls, President Clinton leads Bob Dole of Kansas by 16 percentage points. It's brought to mind this little chestnut.
Oh, God.
Mine eyes have seen the latest polls. Dole 16 points behind.
The Wall Street Journal says the genius of Mark Russell is that he takes songs we all know and changes the words from what they regularly are and puts in things about politics that are real funny.
I understand Ross Perot wasn't allowed in the televised debate. Here's a little song about all that.
Nah.
Ross Perot. Ra-os-per-o.
The audience cuts.
I know. And the piano with stars on it. Says,
we've reconsidered our concept of God, and it just might be Mark Russell.
All right, that's enough. That's it. So they that's a callback from years ago. Now you get what we were talking about, Josh.
I think that's Mark McKinney, who was also in the Kids in the Hall. The
Mark only, McKinney, yep.
If there's only one complaint that, is that it is so close to real, it's almost not parody.
Is that a Kids in the Hall sketch?
Or no, that's a Saturday Night Live. He did, I think, one or two seasons on SNL.
Yeah, so.
But, I mean, that is so much like him.
Right, right.
With the setup and the stupid. Oh, my God. That makes my head hurt because it's so dead on.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So that's the way we felt about it anyway. So we're up here in Central Florida and got a late start. But
how long
of a
drive is it again?
3 hours, roughly 3 hours and 5 minutes, something like that. A little over 3 hours to get up here. And
that counts as a long drive, yeah.
Drove by all the Josh stuff. Drove by all the fun stuff. It looked really
like
It really has kind of a Las Vegas kind of vibe when you drive through the center of Orlando. You see all the themes,
all the billboards
theme parks and all that. Yes,
signs and everything.
You're a regular Orlando traveler. Any insight you can give me on this part of the state?
Yeah, it sucks. It's all traffic. There's nothing good about it.
Suck. Now
I-4 is horrible.
I think the last time we were in Orlando, Mike, we went to Twin Peaks.
Did we go to Twin Peaks in Orlando?
I think it was right around there, yeah.
We took a diversion.
And it added a long time to our ride.
Because one particular individual wanted to go to Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it was an individual that wore the kind of coat that you hooked your thumbs into when you wore it. Mm-hmm. And he kept talking. Right, Mike, it was going to be...
What does that mean? I don't understand that at
he
all.
I just remember because I was pissed because he kept talking about how amazing it was going to be.
It was Oscar.
And it sucked, and the food sucked. And he was wearing like a warm-up jacket, but it had a place where you could hook the sleeves into your thumbs. And I just said, that's stupid. What are you doing?
It's so when you run, your sleeves don't ride up on you.
Yeah, he wasn't running. He was going to a TNA bar.
Barrister 8 wrote, also not funny, the Capitol steps. And
he's right.
We used to make fun of them, too.
He's right.
Long gone. Now, I run out early this morning. The reason I was a little late today is I wanted one more cable that I forgot. Once again, not preparing for this show. And I ran
Did
out to get
the cable.
Did you
buy it at the hotel gift store?
Yeah. Where did you go this early this morning?
The Mart of Wall.
Of course.
Okay.
Good for
and
you.
And then remembered that I had one up in the bedroom and, you know, walked out without buying anything, which isn't is it, really satisfying.
Isn't it nice that you can now go buy cables pretty much anywhere?
It is wonderful. Yeah. It is wonderful. And I am not exaggerating when I say not an hour ago, I was driving on the streets of Orlando and I saw a billboard. I think I saw it correctly. I veered into the right lane. We were making two left-hand turn lanes, and I was craning my neck to see this billboard. I swear to God, if I am not mistaken, the billboard said Urinetown. Urinetown.
It's, now, yeah, it's, I believe it's a, that's a play.
It's a Broadway musical.
Oh,
no. Off-Broadway.
Okay,
yeah.
I see. There I am, out of the loop again. Urinetown. That's what it was.
You're but also, Mike, you are in town.
So what is Urinetown? Is it? It's a Broadway play?
I think it was off Broadway, but it was in New York when we were up there. It was,
it's
you know
musical.
What? I kind of put it in the same sort of scope as Puppetry of the Penis. Okay. I think they were both going on at
kind
the
of
same
shock,
time.
Kind of shock value yeah, is exactly. What we're doing here. All right. I understand now. Yeah. Oh, what a bummer. I was really thinking I'd stumbled on something special, but I didn't because I'm dumb.
Well, all you had to do was roll down the window to make sure.
You're in town. We're in. You're in town, everybody. All right. So the baseball tournament is either going. Once again, we fall into the category.
Take a breath. It's going to be okay.
Well, we fall into the category of not knowing anything other than where.
Yeah.
Today, what time today, and what uniform today. Outside of that. How does the tournament work? Don't know. Okay. How long does the tournament last? Don't know.
So they don't even give you a win-loss. If we win, we do this. If we lose, we do this.
Don't know.
Once again, they expect all parental units to be on standby. You're like an EMT.
Are there any other locations in the area that will be used? Don't know. So we are...
Is there any chance that the game will be played in Fantasyland?
The whole amusement park thing up here right now, I know one thing, that if we play one game today, that is going to be a remarkable amount of downtime.
Sure.
And I don't really know what I want to do. Now, there is talk among the parents who are staying at one of the other local hotels because they don't have dogs. You know, the only reason we took the dogs with us is financial. Because to board animals now in any facility whatsoever.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's have you no
$300
friends?
A night. That's $1,000.
That's more than you're paying for yourself.
It's insane.
Do you have any neighbors that you could have come in and walk and water them just for a couple days?
I have used the WAG app before.
What is the WAG? Uber.
That is where you schedule on the app. For someone to come by your house and get the dogs out of the cage, walk them, and return them.
I don't trust it. I'm a little paranoid about that. Now, one of the other thoughts that I said to my wife earlier today in a very sweet tone was, why can't we use one of the neighbor boys?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that's you know, because after last night, I thought that perhaps the dogs would not be making the trip up north when we go to the great state. She just walked back in with them.
That's nice.
And I am getting the evil eye right now. What about having one of the neighbor boys?
You know who would be good, Mike?
You know, did you hear that?
I did. Sometimes they're, you know, beautiful spouses and sometimes they're opponents. They just can't choose it.
I get it.
What about Millsy? Could Millsy do it? Call Mark Miller.
Millsy is back from his treatment. And
is he doing okay? I hope
he's
so.
He's doing very well.
That's great.
I have not checked in with him since he got back. I have left him alone.
A lot of times the best thing for recovery is walking.
Wait, Carla, come by. Where are you going?
She's seeing an attorney.
Where are you going?
Getting towels.
Oh, getting towels. You coming back? Because they, not because they want to see her, because they whine if she stays out of the room. Oh, boys are back now too. It's a steady stream of activity.
Yeah. And Carla, right, she keeps all the towels from a hotel, right?
Let's bring in one of the players
here. Six things in there.
We're both going to give ratings right now. Rate the breakfast 1 to 10.
Solid 5.
Dylan, Rate the breakfast. Come over
what
here.
What was the breakfast?
Yeah, we got to know items.
I will ask Dylan. Rate the. Lean in here so they can see on the camera. Rate the breakfast 1 to 10.
Like a 7.5.
7.5. What was the best? What was the best item?
This is your first time in a hotel.
What was the best time?
Probably like their waffles.
Waffles, okay. Waffles work.
Oh,
right?
Ask if they had
ding dong ditching.
What?
We ding dong ditched each floor successfully.
I don't want to hear it. Just
said get in trouble.
Do they
Isn't
have
there
this...
more than one door on each floor?
One represents.
Hey, is today's baseball game 1:15?
Yes.
So tomorrow's 11:30.
Oh, I just lost Josh. Did you lose Josh?
Or no, I'm Josh.
Did I lose Josh? No, and I lost all you guys right now.
Oh, well, that's too bad because I just found his baseball schedule. Yeah. I might know more than him.
Yeah, you do.
Uploads
absolutely.
In progress. Don't know what that means.
Oh, it's catching up.
Yeah.
Josh, what's your go-to at a continental breakfast?
I don't know. I can't hear you.
I hate the continental breakfast.
Should I leave and come back? Thumbs up if you can hear me. I'll leave and come back. It says uploads in progress. I can disregard that?
Disregard.
Huh? Disregard. The Rob nods. Shut up, Stubby.
But no, I hate continental breakfasts.
Okay.
Mostly because I hate other people.
I understand. And but have you ever gone and grabbed it and gone back to your room?
That's all I do.
Okay.
So generally I'll grab a Danish, some yogurt, a fruit.
Yogurt is a strong offering. What I really can't go for are the square eggs where they get obviously like a quart of scrambled egg goo.
Oh,
and they just pour it in and they bake it and then they come out and they slice it. Not a fan of that. Breakfast sandwiches are good if you can get them.
Do you
and
hear
also,
me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can
and
you
also,
hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, no.
Yes, but I can't hear you.
Okay. The fruit juice. I love the selection of fruit juices.
All right, hold on.
Where they're all watered down.
Exactly.
And a machine that squirts it out.
Yeah.
I don't like anything about a
Hi, Mike.
Hey, hi, Rob. How are you?
I've got some news for you.
Yes.
Tomorrow's game is 11:30.
Tomorrow's game is... Now, how did you find this out?
It's on the website. Tomorrow you play.
There you go. There's a baseball answer right there. Oh, the website. The Mike, one of what, 50 zillion that are out there now?
It's on TMS.
Do you want
TMOS
me to give out the
podcast.
Website on the show?
No, but I mean, that's the thing. Nobody ever knows what how did you find this and you don't even have a dog in the fight? Did you look up Oviedo?
Yeah, I looked up baseball tournament Oviedo.
Okay.
And then I looked up the age bracket and I found that Fort Myers plays Sanford today at 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow at 11:30 a.m., you play Winter Park D11.
Okay.
Although this is useful information, here's what Mike just heard. I went to the website, and I just saw the baseball tournament Oviedo, and I have all the answers.
Yes. We have 3 hours before we have to be at the ballpark.
So. Right. I am helping Mike to plan his schedule.
Yes.
See how Saturday and Sunday lays out based on wins and losses.
And that's, I think, tomorrow, after tomorrow, they start. Well, tomorrow's when they start seeding you. And then it's not that kind of seeding.
Okay, I'm just checking. You know, I'm not a sports guy.
At some point, it will be one and done. If you don't win, you don't advance.
Oh,
right? Yes.
Sudden
that
death.
Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon. So we're going to be
play,
up here for a good
You have a game
time.
Today, a game tomorrow, seed games Saturday morning. Then the bracket starts Saturday afternoon into Sunday.
Simple.
God.
Mike, you'll be home by Thursday at the latest, maybe Friday.
This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy.
Heavy chase and vacation.
We're here and I'm excited and we're going to have a lot of fun. I have a question that I don't understand why. I know nothing about automobiles. I am not a car mechanic. I don't work on cars. I don't, but I have been fixing more things around the house. And I found myself now inundated and fascinated with guys that buy cars that are undervalued or junkers at auctions or messed up in a wreck, and they bring them back to life. There was a guy that had a Mercedes-Benz GT that he got at an auction. Now, he paid a lot for it, but he paid half of what it was worth, and this car wouldn't run, and there was dust all over it, and suddenly he gets it in his shop, and he finds a fuse, and he connects the fuse, basically, and starts the car. And then gets everything else worked
Essentially, that's what Josh does at the bins, just with clothes, not cars.
I'd love to
except I don't trust any of these car guys.
I can speak to this, though, Mike.
This car has been in and out of shops and then abandoned, and the guy's like, oh, it's just a fuse. Let me plug this $5 thing in, and the car's perfect.
Yeah.
That's, and they don't show you the videos where of all the misses that they probably
have. Right. I can speak to it, Mike. Do you remember, you know, I've bought three Caprices in my life. The Chevy Caprice, one of my all-time favorite automobiles.
Didn't you buy one from a police chief at some point?
The gray one that was overpowered, that was bought at a Pennsylvania auction. I bought that car at auction.
Right.
And it was the chief of police's car for Gaithersburg, Maryland, when I ran the title. And I got it really cheap. I think it was $1,200 or something like that, because it was an auction. And I still needed to put like $2,500 or $3,000 into it. But, you know, when all was said and done, I got a great car for about $5,000 all told.
Yeah.
So I think... But that was back in the day when it wasn't like fuses that you needed to worry about. It was a much simpler engine.
Yeah, you didn't have an electronic system that everything has now, where you have to put codes in and you have to have the codes that tell you what's
wrong
with
the automobile. But, you know, it was a little dicey when I first took it in to get it worked on. But when all was said and done, it was a good experience. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I
just love these videos. I love the fact that they, and maybe they are scamming me, Josh, but they bring them back from the dead.
Well, they're not going to show any bad stories.
But they do show the problems on some of these cars. They run into problem after problem, and they end up essentially buying big chunks of the car.
It also is what makes old cars great, is they're fixable.
Yeah,
newer cars, no, you just have to trash them.
Yeah,
and this car was expensive, as these shows go. It was a Mercedes-Benz GT something that had only 800 miles on it, but they had used it for demo purposes. It was owned by Mercedes-Benz. It was, I think, less than nine hundred miles. And the
what
car,
year was it? Fairly recent,
maybe a 2017 or 18.
Okay, yeah.
And it was a muscle car. It was a twin turbo V8. You've seen these on it. They go for the brand new, they go for like $200,000.
Yeah.
He got this for $75,000. And the little, it's amazing when you see the little things that don't work on the car. You've got, for example, this car had a propensity to have dashboard trouble, where when he picked the car up, the entire dashboard had kind of curled up like it had been sun damaged, and he had to replace the whole thing. But the engine, when he fired it up, I said, oh, what a thrill that might. Shut up.
But, you know, Mike, it goes down to, like, you can draw a parallel with your slot influencers. It must be nice to have $75,000 to roll the dice on.
Well, that's what these guys do. They're playing large ball because they buy and sell automobiles. Yeah. So that's the
game.
Did
the cigarette lighter work?
No, but it had more bells and whistles on it than I've ever seen. And it had an exhaust note that was the best. How is your lovely diesel running right now?
I love it. I actually drove into Falls Church yesterday, which involved highway travel. I haven't had much highway travel for it. I did a little highway travel when I went to the record store. It drives like a dream. It is so nice. And also, inside, it feels bigger than it looks on the outside. But, you know, it's just got a four-cylinder diesel TDI engine. But if I get on, you know, the toll road or 66 and cruise control it, it's a kitten. It purrs. It's so great.
It's a kitten.
I love it.
It's
I love the car.
Pussy.
And also, I mean, big trunk. It's just an ideal car. And everyone that sees it, they won't believe that it is.
When I said that last group of words, what did you say? What? No, I was just talking a kitty, like a kitty cat. That's I've got the laughter going. This is what I'm looking at over here. Hold on. Let me. There they are.
You know, it's great, Mike. It's like the Grease Man. You have a studio audience.
Yeah. Why don't you go explore? I think
I don't trust these car YouTube guys because I grew up watching Pimp Your Ride on MTV.
Yes.
They put a bunch of crap in the car, and then you read the story a year later about how the engine never worked in the car.
It's like Restaurant Makeover, where they would put up like a veneer of vinyl to make something look good, and then it would fall off a month later.
Will you do my favorite Robert Irvine quote, which is, I want to see a stainless steel bar?
I want a stainless steel bar. That's what it is. We've got a stainless, and you go in and it looks stainless steel, and it's a wrap. It's like
it's
a,
all this. Yes. Plastic. It might as well be contact paper. And you know what Carrie and I used to do on shows like that? Not a lot of them anymore. There was the Gordon Ramsay one too. And he also did like inns. We would always Google the inn or the restaurant or the bar, and they're always closed. Mm. Always closed. They failed right after a month. So
exactly.
I loved keeping
like
that
my bar.
Mind. No, you lasted a long time. And
here's what I did wrong. Here's what I did wrong. There are many things that I did wrong, but one of the things I did wrong was size in general. And
you were too big.
Yes, my penis was too big.
That'll get you every
time. That's
what it was. Oh. Yes. Audience.
There it is. Yeah. I have a live audience.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And you know, and everybody was jealous.
Michael knows
of my enormous, you know, Schwanstucker.
Well, now he knows where it gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So my point was going to be, if I had to do it all over again, there are multiple things I would end. Number one, I went into business with a person who was also not a restaurateur.
Right.
Big mistake. One of the people, if you partner up with somebody to go into a business like that, one of the people has to know the business.
Sure.
And neither one of us did.
Number two, when you were the celebrity name on the building, someone else was supposed to do everything.
And the thing about it is that my value to the enterprise was name recognition and local promotion that I could do through the radio station. As that turned out, it didn't work out quite well doing that when one person never quite wanted to say the real name of the place, but that's okay.
Some people did not see eye to eye.
The second thing that I did was I front loaded the changes, the expensive changes.
Yeah.
Remodel the bathrooms, remodel the bar, I spent
and the
too
dining
much
room
money.
Was beautiful too.
I spent too much money on those renovations to do that. And then the last thing was, I think that nightclubs, which we really were, even though it was an Irish pub, it had a very serious nighttime business.
Mm-hmm.
That was really not the model that there were. I think a great model, and now all restaurants are hard pressed now to make money, but and they probably were back then, but I would have wished for a smaller enterprise with more of an emphasis on food, because I was a night person at that time. I like going out and partying, and I wanted a place that I could go myself. And, you know, in the long run, that's more of a difficult, more of a difficult business
model. I think another mistake is that you never had a claw machine. People love a claw machine. And also video games would have been great.
I think at one point we had something like that. I think we had something cool.
Really?
Yes, I think we had some novelty there.
I was thinking maybe for Carla, you could have put one of those on the bar trivia machines.
You know, we had an ATM. We had those are cash cows. Back in the day, those did very well.
Yeah, but sadly, you were using it the most to pay for the renovation.
Right. No, I was using the condom dispenser.
How many times did you say, these drinks are on me?
I never
for the whole bar.
I really didn't do that as much as I consumed the profits myself personally.
Yeah.
With
did you
friends.
Buy around when the Reds when the Red Sox won the World Series? Because I remember pictures that was
I
a
may
wild
have.
Night there.
I may. That's not the big mistake. Do you remember the big mistake I made when the Red Sox won the World Series? Not when they won the World Series. When they beat the Yankees.
I don't remember.
I kissed one of the waitresses in front of Carla.
Oh, that's
Amber.
Great.
I still remember her name, Amber. And it was, by the way, it was one of these, one of those things like that. It was a completely non-sexual gesture. It was more of a euphoric gesture. I have never lived that down. I have never been able to get over that. That is what, that's because of that.
Well,
that
you were glad trying to put Carla in her place. And say,
I'll tell you the truth.
I can kiss whoever I want.
Yeah.
When we started, Rob remembers this. When we started, our business model was a kind of a Hooters / Twin Peaks type of thing. We had
good-looking staff.
Great staff that would get on the bar and dance and do things like that. They took that away.
Yep.
With the ABC, Alcohol Beverage Control, took that away. They took all the fun stuff away. They are very tightly controlled, and they didn't want anything happening that was fun. That's the way I would look at that.
I'm so glad you brought it up, Mike, because as a surprise, this week on the bonus show, we've booked Amber to come in and talk to you.
She was not only – no, let me just tell you about her.
Okay. No, you don't need to if you don't want to.
She was a good server.
Sure.
And she was very –
so she earned the kiss.
And doing very well in high school.
I don't need any
straight
help
A student.
This will, and she, I'm so glad she's not in the room. If she's listening to this, this would bring it all back to the surface.
No.
She was the closest person to the table at the time. And I was going down the hallway to call my mother. How about that? Okay.
To tell her about Amber?
No, to tell, maybe it was the World Series.
To tell her about Amber?
It was the World Series. I was watching the World Series in the joint. Tell her about Amber. You guys suck. You guys don't.
Mom, I met a girl. And yeah. She's a great server. A great one.
She's a great. Oh, my God. All right. We will take a short one.
We should.
I'm going to make every attempt in the world to give you the tidbits today because that's what I do.
It is the best time of year to relax and cozy up with a great bottle of wine. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a wine club that directly connects you to the world's best independent winemakers so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code TMOS at nakedwines.com and get $100 off your first order. That's six bottles of wine for just $39.99. How do they do it? Naked Wines brings you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you would pay in a store. By cutting out extra costs like middlemen markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality. Such a deal! Get the best wine at the best price with Naked Wines. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS, click enter voucher, and put in the code TMOS for both the code and the password for $100 off your first order. That's six bottles for only $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first six bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS. Just remember to use the code and password TMOS for six bottles of wine for
$39.99. All right. Oh, wow. What did I miss? I missed something. What's
Diane Leggett has given us a $50 super chat. Says, good luck to Michael and the team, and hi to Carla. She says, thanks God for always her. Making us laugh.
God bless
Rob,
her.
You misread
real
that.
Good.
It says, hi to Amber.
No, it doesn't say hi to Amber. Josh, don't be a nad.
Hit the tidbit music there, Rob Spiewak.
TV.
We start today with a massive corporate civil war.
Massive.
Oh, man. Oh, I hate my soundboard. I really do.
Well, I got Mike, I can swoosh it.
Yeah, no, God damn it. Every effing day.
No, you're on the road. I don't think your soundboard is set up to work.
It won't work.
It won't work without your board.
It won't.
All no,
right. No.
A massive corporate civil war has exploded in the television world following the shocking firing of legendary 60 Minutes anchor Scott Pelley. The legendary investigative show has been completely thrown into turmoil.
Told
after
you.
New network executives. I think the guy's name is Bilton. I think that's one of them. And then the Barry Weiss is the lady that is running the whole thing.
Not Barry White.
Barry Weiss.
Okay, very good.
Not a, you're never give me. let's see what happened here. They were thrown into turmoil. The network executives have done this. They've been appointed by Paramount's new ownership, and they abruptly fired Pelley alongside four other top correspondents and top producers in a dramatic, fiery staff meeting that has leaked to the industry. Pelley reportedly accused network leadership of murdering the legendary broadcast, and directly told his newly appointed boss that his news qualifications were downright slender. That is a cool way to explain it.
I have no problem calling 60 Minutes legendary. It truly, truly is. But do you really think Scott Pelley is legendary?
No.
I don't either. Well, I think that's giving him all the
best. But I think he stood up for his people, and I think it sucks what they're doing. Yeah. And it's political.
But of course, you're going to get fired if you call the boss a horrible person in your first meeting with them.
Well, when the boss is a partisan party hack that has been brought in to dismantle it and inject right-wing propaganda into one of the most independent news broadcasts ever created, then I think I'm on Team Pelley here.
I would like Pelley to share where his news has changed and where he was forced to put bias into it. He
Pelly,
said he was forced
I read,
to.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought it up because he actually brought up the
good
the fact that he was directly asked to inject unverified talking points into existing correspondent stories, and yes.
Which
he was
stories?
Done. Well, I don't have the which stories.
That's all I want from him. Is
but that's
examples.
What they do. That's what they. Yes. And you know, I if he wants them, I that's fine. But I mean, I think it's obvious that these are right wing people that are coming into 60 Minutes, which was an independent place.
It would be probably just as bad if they came in to influence it to the left as well. I mean, this is a pretty down the middle program.
You go back in the history of 60 Minutes and you will see people being tackled on the left and the right. This is Trump, 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 and more Trump.
Don't feel bad though, Mike, for Scott Pelley, because he's already landed another job. He's going to be hosting 90 Day Fiancé on Bravo. Good job.
Just go ahead. I'm just doing a show over here, guys. They just have a nice loud conversation while I'm doing a show.
It's called respect.
Hit the thing, Rob Spiewak.
Oh, absolutely.
10-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion and former New York Giant Russell Wilson is officially trading his helmet in for a broadcast headset. He's out of the NFL. Industry insiders report that Wilson is finalizing a massive deal. I think he'll be good to become the newest flagship NFL analyst for, the aforementioned CBS Sports.
The Tiffany Network.
The Tiffany Network. The quarterback is transitioning straight from the field into the studio booth, bringing his famous. What's his famous catchphrase? I don't even know what his famous.
You look marvelous.
You look marvelous.
It's so funny.
You look marvelous. But he brings a lot of experience.
Who do you suppose his partner will be?
Scott Pelley.
Oh, that'll be good.
Nostalgia. Oh, bye. Where are you going?
Walmart.
Oh, Walmart. Oh, good. Buy me a candy bar. Nostalgia is hitting New York City hard as comedic icons Marlon Wayans, Anna Faris, and Sean Wayans completely shocked fans by invading the city for the scary movie Times Square Hot Box promotional event.
Oh, God. Scary Movie 6?
Am I the only one who's applauding that?
Yeah, you might be. You know, I don't appreciate when you blaze up. Mm-hmm. You can have it in a gummy now. Josh told me about it.
Josh sent me. You know, Josh is in the middle of the show. He sends me the Sports Engines itinerary for the
tournament.
Game.
So you'll have it after the show.
Thank you. Anyway, the cast members reunited to recreate classic hilarious moments from the legendary parody franchise right in the middle of Manhattan, sending crowds into a frenzy. That's what they say here. And proving that, shut up.
Hey, it worked.
And sending crowds into a frenzy, proving the 2000s comedy classic still holds a
Mike, it's going to be okay. Going to be okay. Got baseball, got everything. They're your kids. You love them. The dogs are great.
No, it's not the kids. It's the dog.
Everything's great.
Do you think, here's what the news story said, that it holds a massive grip on pop culture. Do you think that's true?
No, I don't at all. I do know they did a hot boxing promotion for Back Rooms that was very popular.
That's funny. I'd like to put the dogs in Back Rooms underground. The reality television universe going nuts after Bravo patriarch Andy Cohen, one of my favorites.
Cross-eyed.
He completely set social media on fire during his 58th birthday celebration. The show he does where he kind of goes over some of the reality shows called Watch What Happens.
Yeah.
He was caught by paparazzi holding hands and doing some PDAs. Those are public displays of affection.
Exactly.
Outside a West Village restaurant with a high-profile portfolio operator. Oh, I know this guy. Kevin Sobieski.
What?
Who
is he related to? Lily Sobieski?
Oh, isn't she? What's the movie? Wasn't she in Eyes Wide Shut?
I believe she's a young actress who looked like Helen Hunt when she came on the scene.
Okay, I think it's the same person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Internet sleuths instantly went into overdrive to figure out who the mystery man was. They tracked down everything from his finance career to his past celebrity dating history. Neither camp has officially commented on the relationship rumors. The viral photos have effectively given the king of celebrity gossip a taste of his own medicine.
In the chat room, Shannon Fisher says it turns out it wasn't Sobieski. It was Amber that he was with.
I am not in the chat room right now. If someone in the chat room can tell me what Russell Wilson's catchphrase is, I really appreciate
it. I Googled it, and it said, Broncos country, let's ride.
That's a good catchphrase. So I don't know how that
translates to CBS.
Jesus. Yeah, that doesn't really do it for me.
No, nothing fun.
And here's Jim Nance. Let's ride.
Let's ride. Tony Romo, I'm Jim Nance. The beautiful azalea line fairways
maybe
of Augusta.
He'll give a necktie to Russell Wilson.
Scotty Scheffler coming up 18 and saying, let's ride. Finally today, Benjamin Fragile.
Oh, he's a good boy.
He's a 23. He's from a Palm Harbor, Florida, which you know means there's going to be something dumb he does.
Yeah, of course.
The dogs are whining right now. He was arrested for felony criminal mischief on May 24th after allegedly vandalizing a local marquee sign Rob Spiewak put together that's known for its puns.
Oh, I love puns.
The Smoking Gun reported this story. According to the police, Fragile used bricks and branches to smash the sign, damaging the letters, the message board, and the interior lights. The sign belongs to a local chiropractic office that uses Rob Spiewak as one of their consultants.
Thank you.
So that they can put on the sign memorable phrases, including, we never crack under pressure. It's easier to throw out your back than your mother-in-law. I'm beginning to side with Mr. Fragile.
Yeah,
we won't stop until everyone is cracked up. Or our Easter adjustments are excellent.
That's stupid.
Now, would you like to know the message that made him a little crazy, kooky, crazy?
Absolutely.
They said licensed crack dealer. Apparently, that was too much for Mr.
I like that one.
That's the best one. You're right, John.
The arrest report indicates that Fragile thought that statement was illegal. Well, that means not. He's insane. Well, he's nuts. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Court records do not corroborate the claim. Fragile remains detained while he awaits a court hearing. And I can't think off the top of my head any chiropractic puns that would be better than the ones that we heard. Can you? You need an attitude adjustment.
That's good.
How about that?
Yeah.
Hey, do you have enough spine to come in here? Come in and visit us on our periodic table. I mean, I'm doing these right off the top of my head. Where are you, Skippy? You're Mr. You're the guy. You're the man. Come on now. Give me a pun.
Give us a pun. Okay, let's see. Come on in. Let's neck.
That's good. That's good on the fly.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm out. I don't have anything more.
Josh, close us out with a really good pun.
I don't have a pun.
He doesn't have a pun at all. That's all right. We got to take a short one. We'll come back with something. I don't know what the hell we're going
to do. Hey, fudge cutters. Mike O'Mara here. I want to share something my wife Carla is really excited about at DermGlow Skin. Peptides. Peptides are natural compounds in your body that act as messengers, helping with things like repair, metabolism, sleep, and energy. Now you can supplement them all. Partnering with a trusted telehealth partner, DermGlow gives you access to doctor-prescribed peptides in all 50 states. It's simple. Take a quick online quiz, get approved, and your order ships straight to your door. Peptides can improve your energy, metabolism, and cellular health. Detox and skin support, hair, skin, and scalp health, better sleep, and the Wolverine stack for recovery and healing. And of course, GLP-1s for weight loss. Whether you're trying to lose 30 plus pounds or just the last five, there are programs programs and microdosing options to help with benefits like reduced cravings and better blood sugar balance. Everything is prescribed by licensed doctors safely and conveniently. If you're low on energy, struggling with weight, not sleeping well, or just not feeling your best, there may be a peptide that can help you. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and click the weight loss and peptides to get started. DermGlowSkin.com, helping you feel better from the inside out.
What's that? Okay. Oh, is it like a is it no smoking sign for the hospital? Yeah.
Yes.
Mike, no smoking in there.
It's a hotel, not a hospital.
I know. I stopped myself.
Oh, I have a song for one of our principals on the show today. Rob can sing it with me. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, happy anniversary. You're still married, right, Josh?
Last I checked, yes.
How many years? Four? Does it seem longer?
Like 35.
Yeah, I thought so.
Let's talk to the elder statesman here. Oh, by the way, look at my shirt. There you go.
South All Stars.
Yeah. Yep. The elder statesman here has us both beat. How many years, Rob, for you?
October. This is crazy. I had to run the math. October will be 35 years.
You have the potential, if you live, to be...
Well, stop there.
If you, yeah, to be one of those 50 anniversary guys.
Yeah. Well, Carrie and I, you know, we've never really entertained divorce. And if we do, we're just going to wait till the kids die. So, because it's not fair to them.
Well, to be fair, she's also been counting down, thinking he would have never lasted 35 years.
Yeah, that's weird. I count up, Carrie counts down. Why is that?
I'm curious. Do you have any big plans? I know you celebrated her birthday recently. The lady is constantly being entertained by you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we are going to go to Disney this afternoon.
Okay, so that's your thing. That is proven to be successful for your marriage, right?
Yep.
That is you're enjoying
it. Yes, because we got the passes for Christmas, which means someone else paid for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we don't have to pay and we can go and have a night out.
And it includes parking in the whole deal,
It includes parking. We end up paying for a fancy dinner or expensive dinner.
Or mouse ears, yeah.
I can say this.
Yeah.
That even with this road trip, even with the dogs and all the hassle and all this stuff, it's still ultimately, you know, going to be after I get done doing this show, is going to be kind of a fun exercise. We love to go to it. So doing stuff with your significant other...
Mm-hmm.
Is important.
And, it is. Is time apart.
What was the last cool thing you did with your wife, Rob Spiewak?
It was October 12th, 1996, and we got married.
No, what is the coolest thing you've done in the last 6 months with your
recently?
Wife?
Recently? Oh, golly. Something should pop to mind. No,
you watched a little television.
We watched TV. Yeah, we haven't been to a movie together lately. Let me talk to Josh a moment. Let me think. Think on it. Yeah,
I'll think.
Well, you know what, Mike? The cruise.
Okay,
that was great.
All right,
and we had a great time.
Hey, you at least you had your wife on the cruise. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
She loves me.
I didn't. No, I mean, it makes a difference when you do so. And Josh was doing this whole Disney thing with the idea of, you know,
getting out
of the house, doing things with his significant other. That's the way that worked, right?
Now, I can't go on any roller coasters or anything because I did have my doctor's follow up.
With your Superman jump?
When I Supermaned into the bed.
How is your shoulder? How is that neck?
Well, it's my rib cage and it hurts. And it still hurts. And I was told that it will continue to hurt for 4 to 6 weeks, that there's nothing that can be done, that it is a bone bruise or a hairline fracture of a rib. And all I can do is take Advil and deal with it.
I noticed you're wearing a t-shirt with a mascot of a particular baseball team. Do you happen to know how they did last night?
You know, it's the first game all year I've missed.
Oh, really?
No clue what
Maybe
happened.
That's the reason.
I'm kidding. I saw that. They got destroyed by the Red Sox.
They got thumped by the Red Sox.
There's a reason that when the Orioles win game one, I never send a text message because there's always game two and three.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's big, big fun in the old
town.
But
aren't they getting close to 500? I mean, they're having a pretty good run.
They are. They're getting close.
Yeah.
They're doing better than the Red Sox overall.
I really think that I've been paying attention to I shouldn't talk about this, but I will talk about
it. Okay.
That
we all grieve in different ways. We've been part of it with Rob Spiewak losing his dad and
Twitch,
you know, and but recently your dad,
right?
And that's a big one. And then our friend Mr. Steve Bridges out in Iowa recently canceled our show on there because we had a business discussion that turned to contentious, and he bumped the show. And we've speculated that maybe because he's kind of been hurting a lot, as anybody who follows him would know, but I don't know. We asked for a different arrangement, and there was just like, it happened very quickly, and it kind of caught us off guard. And it was our last radio affiliate. And if you follow him, he's very, very, very vocal on social, very open on social about grieving the loss of his wife. It's very much top of mind, as it would be for anybody. He has a memorial service for her, Jan, this weekend. And we were very, very upset ourselves that, you know, that this happened, and the timing, you know, caught us by surprise. But look, I don't know. I think people grieve in a variety of different ways.
I agree.
Think it's always something that people handle differently. I will say to you, Rob, that you probably handled it a lot like I did, where, you know, when you're in the business of show, you come in, and probably Steve's doing it the same way when he gets on his radio.
I'm sure.
But behind the scenes, you know, you got to be careful, because there's sometimes you lash out, and people grieve in different ways. And the question I have for you, Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
Do you think sometimes that if you let it completely engulf you, that makes the situation more difficult? I don't know if it's better for you to do that.
One of the things that, and I've said this before when I was with a therapist, they said, you can't ignore grief because grief is very patient.
Yeah.
And if you don't deal with it head on, it's always going to be really a thick part of your psyche.
Yeah.
And you guys were kind enough. My father passed, I believe, on a Friday. And we took the next week off. And that was really kind of you guys, because when you have 7 days in a row when you can just focus on talk, and I was with Kathy down in Miami, as many of you know, and you can talk and you can laugh and you can cry, you can get it out of your system. It was the healthiest time I've dealt with a situation like that in my life. And I've had a lot of deaths in my life. This is obviously probably the most important, but it really, really helped. Now, that doesn't mean that to this day, I don't see 40 things a day that I wish I could call him and tell him, and that I wish I could have him for one more day. And as a matter of fact, yesterday, Kathy is in the D.C. area, and she's cleaning his stuff out of their condo.
Yeah, and you were part of that, right? I saw a post that you were doing. You were dealing with that.
And I was really hesitant, because that place is where my dad, that was his primary residence since my folks divorced. And so I thought walking into there would be really weird. And it turned out not to be. It turned out to be kind of positive. I got to see so many things that he held on to. And like going through and looking at, Kathy says, do you want any of his shirts or anything? Because he's got some great hoodies and stuff. And going through and seeing articles of clothing that I remember him wearing at different, it's just,
I never had that. I never
experienced
that.
It's sweet. It was so nice.
That's not true. I did. I experienced his, I told this story on the air before, my dad's ties. Where
that's the one thing that I took of my father's that I really wanted were his ties.
Because
when he needed to dress, he was a sharp dresser and he had the best ties. But the neatest thing we found, and my mom doesn't even remember this, my birth mom, somewhere in like a jewelry box or with all of his little knickknacks and stuff, this is, and I'm wearing it because I didn't want to lose it, this is his wedding ring from his first marriage to my mom.
Wow.
And nobody knew it existed. And it was just, and it's not.
Look at how big his hand is, Josh.
There's nothing fancy about it. It's sterling silver. It's not even a gold band because they were so broke then. I think I've said this to you before. I was looking at the birth certificate.
It looked gold tinted.
No, it's a tarnished silver is what it is.
How do you know it was from that marriage?
Well, because he's only had two marriages.
Are you sure?
Do you think it would have marriage from a secret life or something?
Yeah, I don't think there was because as I saw on the birth certificate for me, it says age of father 19. So I don't think he married beforehand, and we always kept sort of tabs on in between.
But I'm hoping a secret woman shows up to the celebration.
The secret woman that shows up.
I'm gonna come
and drag.
No, don't do Lucille Ball. But again, it was the kind of thing, and also there's a part of me that's got an ounce of dread for his celebration at Jimmy's because I've got to speak. You know for a fact that a eulogy is the hardest speech you can do, especially when you're connected to the person who is deceased. But I've gotten so much positive feedback about looking forward to seeing you, looking forward to celebrating his life. I think that's going to be okay too.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing that I did right, thanks to you guys, was to take 7 or 8 dedicated days and just deal with it.
Yeah.
Cry and laugh and yell and
I did 2 weeks. Yeah. I did 2 weeks and it was very, very helpful.
But I will also tell
try to just dive into work and just ignore it. And I think that's the worst thing you can do.
And again, I say everybody's different. I can't tell you how to grieve. And this has not been an easy road for me, and it'll continue to be weird, but I think for me, this was the way to handle it. And if you think about the person that you're missing, they probably don't want you to grieve for months and months. If they loved you, they'd want you to move on. I know my dad would.
Yeah, you're probably right. As far as dads are concerned, if you could put a paragraph together of one of the coolest moments you ever experienced with your father. Do you have one that stands out?
Absolutely.
Where I know I do. I know I have.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first because it was my dad was an older dad. Not like I'm an older dad. I'm a much older dad than my dad was. But my dad was in his 50s when I was born. Mm-hmm. And you tend to, at least I did, and I think most kids with older fathers, you tend to have a different kind of bond with your child when you're an older dad.
Sure.
And you as a child, I remember rooting for my dad. I remember wanting my dad to do better than the other dads because he was older.
Sure.
And my dad used to come home from work and then he would get a red sweater on, like a red cardigan with a t-shirt underneath and either jeans or some like khakis that he'd throw on. And that was his knock around outfit. And we had a little league where a lot of our fields were down a slope into like a little valley area, and then the parking lot would be up top. And you'd look down and you could see. And I remember with my father that if I could look up on the hill and see that red sweater, I would know, oh, my dad's here. And it would be so important. That's why when you participate in your kids' sports, I think that it means so much to them, but they won't know until way down the road. And then they had on one of our mini football, what were we, midgets? I think it was midgets football.
Now they call it little people football.
A little bit. It was midget football, and they had the father's game, where the fathers played a game at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, they put him at quarterback. And I watched my dad in that red cardigan sweater take the snap and throw just this amazing, long, perfect spiral because my dad and I used to throw the football constantly and score this massive touchdown. And it was was it a big deal for, recording it? Right? No. At the moment, though, everybody was watching. Sure. Everybody saw it at the same time. And I remember that feeling like it was yesterday. There are things about my dad that were great, but I don't. That's the one that always jumps off.
The little moments.
Watching that on the sidelines in my little Rugrat uniform there, and digging that. It was special, and I'll never forget it.
I have a couple. I think my favorite that brings to mind because my dad was always supportive of what I wanted to do as a career, and not everyone in my family was. And also when I got into it, you know, being an intern and a lowly guy on the totem pole, I was berated and, you know, belittled on the air a little bit, a lot. And that's okay. That was the job. But it made you sometimes feel a little less than excellent about yourself. And when I first got the gig, because just bad, you know, a bad bit of luck for someone else to announce at the Redskins games, the pregame, when I got parking and two passes for the stadium, and I got to take my dad to the Redskins game. And this is before I was jaded about football. It was still exciting. Okay. And to take him down on the field and watch the warmups. And
this is the pinnacle of the Redskins.
Oh yeah, it was
right.
Great time.
I mean, well, it's probably coming down. They were
coming down, but it was still
the biggest game in town.
And also the new stadium. It was still Jack Kent Cooke Stadium. No, it was brand new.
It was the only sport in town, really, for a long, long time.
And then to take him up to the press box and introduce him to Sonny Jurgensen, who he hung a poster of over my bed when I came home from the hospital. Introduce him to Sam Huff, who spoke at his high school when he was in New York, or when my dad lived in New Jersey and Sam was in New York.
Right.
And to look at him and to see your dad, who's always been your dad, to have that sparkle of like a little kid in his eyes, because he was just so excited to be there. And I think that's one of the greatest moment I had where I could sort of give back, and he loved it. And it was so special because, you know, he did everything he could for me always until the day he died. And there's just not as much he can give back as a kid.
What about you, Josh? We've got time for you, too.
There's plenty, especially because sports has been so important to my relationship with my dad and brother. The three of us text nonstop during every baseball game, every football game. So it's the go into so many games and getting tickets to the Super Bowl to take them to the Super Bowl. And it's the three of us playing softball for many years together. So there's lots of sports overlap, baseball overlap that is my relationship with my dad.
Yeah.
So, you know,
are you shocked that my story had to do with sports?
No, I'm a little shocked that, you know, we were talking about, you know, participating, but, you know, I didn't know that was, that you being associated with the hottest team in town was a big deal for you. And being that on-field announcer was a big deal for you. And
I did wear out at the end because they treated me like absolute shit.
Cause it was the Dan Snyder era.
Exactly.
And it was horrible. And, you know, now he's
I got to take my dad to the main room with the scoreboard and the music effects and all that stuff. I mean, we had access to the entire... That was the day that we were down in the tunnel after the game and we saw Sonny Jurgensen leaving in a Mercedes with a plum in his mouth. He was holding it like that. And
I know.
But I mean, these are the things that you don't get. And I mean, you can't get anymore, but so many people... they're prevented from getting. And I was so glad I was able to give that to my pop.
We got to take a break when we come back. Tiny victories, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about tiny victories. We'll do that when we
come
back.
Listen up. I've got a delicious way to stay strong, healthy, and feeling great. Omaha Steaks. Fuel your routine with premium pre-portioned protein. Hey, I like that. Premium pre-portioned protein delivered right to your door. We're talking handcrafted USDA certified steaks, juicy gourmet burgers, plus chicken, pork, and more. Something for everyone. Right now, get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code Mike at checkout. That's a new code. Don't miss it. Why Omaha Steaks? Well, it's simple. They do beef right. Every steak is perfectly aged for tenderness, hand cut by master butchers, and backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. They've been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917, and it shows in every bite. And honestly, nothing beats having a premium steak in your freezer ready to hit the grill anytime. Bring on the beef. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality protein straight to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code Mike at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code Mike. Terms apply. See site for details.
You know, when they cut that steak on the diagonal in that commercial, for those of you that are not watching the video, I just wanted to say what I was looking at. I want to reach into the camera. I want to reach into the screen and, like, pull a piece of that meat out. It looks so
good. What is it about? Because I lock into that shot, too. What right. is it about it that is so magnificent?
They do it. They and there are people that do that, know how to shoot that stuff.
That's like better than us.
It's better,
yeah, it
it's
is better, better than
we
us.
Can cook anything.
Now, what is this tiny victories you wanted to talk
okay,
about?
Okay, I always get mixed up with what people land in what age group. I know I'm Generation X. I'm right in the middle of Generation
X. I'm Generation Jones.
Okay, and Josh, you are at the beginning of millennials, right?
No, I am the end of Generation X, I believe.
Because I saw, according to the research, I did a quick Google, and it says millennials are 1981 to 1986.
And I was born in 1980.
Okay, so yeah, it's very close. But the millennials now, so if you're, that's like, you now you're like in your 40s, essentially.
That's when Carla was born, too.
A millennial? She's a millennial.
In 1980, she was born.
Oh, so she's an X.
The end of Gen X. The end of Gen X.
So I think some of these are a little late, but this was a list, I think I found it on Reddit, of tiny victories that millennials have that make them think they've arrived. Now, we're going to have to look back, Mike.
Now, give me the years for millennials again, please.
Millennials, according to my research, 1981 to 1986. It's a 15-year block.
All right. Relatively, we're talking about 30s and 40s, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I think some of these you should probably have done by the time you're 30, but I want your opinion.
And but they are different. They stay at home longer.
You're right. You're right.
They stay with their parents longer. They don't marry as soon. They don't have families as soon. All that stuff. Go ahead.
But I want you to also compare this to when you were in your 30s and 40s. Remember when Eisenhower was in office. And I want you to know if these were tiny victories for you at that time. Okay. It says that a victory is finally upgrading to a king-size bed.
Listen, for me, this is going to be a little difficult because these are such distant memories, but I would have done that in my 20s.
Yeah.
I would have done that in my mid-20s.
For me, it was like, I don't know, 4 years ago, I upgraded to a king, maybe three.
You waited that long?
Well, because you can't upgrade to a king until you have a room big enough for a king.
Okay.
So you have to upgrade your house to get the king.
Okay. We had a queen for years. I think it was about 14 years ago because we had to get a king size because Linus was sleeping in bed with us.
We had a queen on the show. His name was Joe.
I remember him. Mm-hmm. Joe Clendenin, I think, was his name. Mike, being able to put your bills on auto pay because you have the money standing by. You don't need to crunch it each month.
I am here to say that to this day, I fear putting anything on auto pay.
I don't do it. Because it'll bite you in the ass.
No, I do it. Paycheck to paycheck, basically.
Yeah.
You know? I do it. I have had to go and turn it off before. But I do like to turn it on.
That would make me too sad. That would give me a sad, as Rob would say.
Now, this is a fantasy that I've wanted forever, and I still, at age 55, have not gotten there. Having an emergency $500 or $1,000 emergency fund that you don't spend unless it's an emergency.
I tap my overall savings. Okay. If there's any kind of real emergency, and I have been doing that for a couple of decades, which has resulted in. There's nothing left.
I understand. Mm-hmm. But we've never been, we're not destitute, certainly, but we've never been money enough ahead that we have $1,000 we don't need. And
I've
wish that
really
would be the case. Yeah.
I've never really had an emergency fund.
Maybe if someone slowed down on purchasing microphones whenever there was added cash, maybe you'd have a little mad money left around.
That's right, Josh. You and your microphones. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll stop buying vinyl also.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Doesn't appreciate heavy, Jesus. Too. Having a drink fridge in your garage. I do think a second refrigerator is a pretty good accomplishment if you get there.
I never processed it that way. I more or less processed it as having a shitty refrigerator that didn't work. The ice maker didn't work, and I was able to sort of slide that out to the garage. It was more necessity than thinking of it.
Yeah, but then again, you've got the time and the wherewithal to upgrade your main fridge, and you have a leftover one.
Are you saying millennials would think of this as a, hey, look what I did?
Yeah, it feels like they arrived.
I will say, whenever you say that, Josh, when you say that to somebody, it's like, I've got that in my garage fridge. That's kind of a cool thing to do. Do you feel the same way? Yeah,
I do. So. I love the fact, it's important for the Costco generation, too. You need that extra freezer space.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, Well, the trick I've done for 15 years now is an office fridge where I put my own drinks in. Yeah, a little one that's just in my office.
Is it close to you right now?
It's across the, it's on the other side of the room right over there.
Is it full of samples?
It's got some THC drinks. It's got some seltzers. It's got some, normally it's got Red Bulls in it.
Mike, I never asked you this. There was a sort of a running gag 5,000 years ago in the morning zoo that you had a fridge in your bedroom?
We did.
Was that true?
That was the house in Annapolis. We had a fridge upstairs. And that was due to excessive drinking, where the hangover that was beginning with the dehydration was so significant that one required a beverage without having to go down the stairs.
And well, you didn't have Elvis's staff that would bring you up ice water, You needed to have a fridge.
Exactly.
Well, that was a thing in older homes, and then bigger, richer homes would be to have a wet bar just off the master bedroom.
Yes,
it had converted into a coffee station.
And they have in the houses down here, even the small ones, they have wet bars off the living room where you have, a little area to make drinks. Wet bars are not uncommon, but I had.
You don't want them to be too wet, though.
Now, in your bedroom, was it a full size fridge?
No, it was a mini fridge like you take to college.
Yeah, exactly.
I was hoping it was like a top freezer and
get your
ice
cream
ice maker.
Got time for a couple more of these, Rob, because I want to get some of your video on.
Understood. Paying someone to chop down or prune a tree in your yard so you just don't have to deal with it.
Yeah. I pay
someone to cut my grass because I hate it so much, and I feel very thankful that I can do that.
I have a homeowners association that has a community landscaping service where they do that, and they just released the monthly amount that it costs to get the and we got a very tiny yard that we have. So I think it's worth the $10,000 a month.
This
even
one,
if they don't take away the limbs.
Even they leave the limbs just hanging up. By the way, I probably shouldn't say this. We have a palm tree. We have one of the biggest palm trees on this
in the world.
And I have never in the world.
It's 10,000 feet tall.
You should see the coconut.
And it has an elf in the top. This thing, we have never had it pruned.
Yeah.
Where are you on pruning palm trees, Josh? Do you believe that you should get a company to come out and tidy them up and cut the dead fronds away?
Because they have that sort of that dead part before the green part starts.
They have the dead part.
Right?
And,
if you wait just a couple more weeks, hurricane season will take care of those dead limbs.
That's where I am. And you know what? Just to, the landscapers, the people that work on the pools, anything that walking through the yard, just look up. Be careful because one of those is going to kill somebody.
Right. And my only policy with palm trees is don't put Christmas lights on the tops of them.
Why is that?
Because it looks not safe for work.
Yeah, it looks penis-like.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. When you do the that's phallus. Yeah. Phallus everywhere, everybody. Yeah. All right,
two more, Mike. Two more. And this is a big one for me. Hiring movers instead of relying on friends for pizza and beer.
Do I think of it as an accomplishment? No. Do I think it's part of growing up? Yes.
Yes.
Where you hire movers. And the ones that moved me.
It's tough. It's tough to ask a friend to do that anymore.
When I moved to Florida, I hired movers to load the truck and movers to unload the truck, but we rented a box truck and I drove that to Florida. So the only part that used movers for was getting it into the truck and out of the truck, which was a pretty good savings. And that's what I did with that. And I felt really accomplished.
Did you have to return the truck back to Northern Virginia?
I stole it.
I paid movers to do everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they stole my property. So I had to, they stole stuff.
Anything really valuable?
A drone, some and video game consoles.
And his first wife.
Bastards.
You know, if you...
We got to move on.
Last one, Mike. If you want to know what the quality of person on Reddit is, here's the final item. Okay. You finally arrived when you have the money for a nice tattoo every now and then.
Josh?
I don't see that as a growing up thing.
But just every now and then. You know.
I have one. I have one right on my palm tree. We'll take a break and we will come back with more, some video, beautiful video for you. Beautiful. Right here on the Mike O'Mara
Here's
show.
A quick message from today's sponsor, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. If you've ever owned a pet, you know they run on their own logic. Jump first, think later. Ask questions, never. I've got dogs, so I know this is true. It's part of what makes them so lovable, but it's also how you end up with those surprise vet visits you didn't see coming. ASPCA Pet Health Insurance helps cover eligible vet expenses. So when those moments happen, you can focus on getting them the care they need without overthinking the cost or second-guessing your decision. When you enroll in an ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, you could even get a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a little treat for you while you're doing something great for your pet. The program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier to get your pet the care they may need. Who's a good boy? You are. If you enroll in the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Plan, it's been around for almost 20 years and has covered nearly 1 million pets in that time. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Amazon. Terms for more info. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
When I like water, I like to have Sam's.
It's owned by Sam Huff, isn't it?
Sam's Purified Water from the late Sam Huff.
Delightful. Ask number 70. Exactly. Mike, can we do this?
Yeah, play the thing.
Okay, let's do the thing.
Hey,
play
that. Some beautiful video. Jerry time.
A lot of times I cater beautiful video to you, Mike, but this first one I cater to Josh. Make him think of his times. We've traveled a little bit together and his great times at the Grand. What was the hotel we stayed in Las Vegas? The downtown Grand.
Sound for that.
If you want to, Mike,
soundboard does not work, Mike.
Draw an equivalent between the downtown Grand and a cruise ship, it turns out it's Carnival. Because here is a video that was going viral this morning from a couple that were on Carnival, and they got woken up by a sound in their bathroom at 2 in the morning.
It was the noise we woke up to at 2 o'clock in the morning.
In the shower.
That is exactly what my shower was doing.
Like, this shit was so disgusting. It stink. We was calling the front desk for about 15 minutes. Finally, my fiance had to run downstairs to get somebody.
Nuggets.
Yeah, Mike, that's if you look closely, you can see
the room.
You can see what was on the buffet.
So nasty.
That
nasty,
is bad.
Nasty.
I hope they took care of him.
I'm sure they did. At Carnival, everything's a party. Now, is there anything more beautiful and wonderful than a child's graduation? Even a kindergarten graduation. You want to show up and I know, Mike, go with a bit. Okay. You want to show up and you want to be respectful. You want to celebrate the other children.
Right.
And what you really don't want to do is pick a fight with a guy who's holding a baby. Let us go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the kindergarten graduation.
Oh, no.
You hate to see that.
The guy with the baby should not be on the ground.
I bet I know what the fight was about.
It's not about school.
What was the fight about?
Being able to see. Being in a spot could see your kids.
I bet it's a domestic thing.
Oh, like a dad.
I bet it's like a dad and a stepdad or something.
An ex shows up at the wrong time. Okay, you might
I read further in an article, they were arguing about the finale of Euphoria.
I think Amber showed up.
Beautiful. Yeah, Amber was there too.
Everybody watch it this weekend, please.
AI, I got two more tapes for you, quick ones. AI is great. I know everyone loves it, but you got to be careful if it's in a toy, because a company picked up a AI bear that is supposed to talk to children, and it didn't really talk like it should be talking to a child.
Oh, hi, I'm wait. Kuma, your best AI friend.
That teddy bear in the scarf is manufactured by the Singapore-based Follow Toy, and it worked off OpenAI's GPT 4.0.
And we asked it out of the box, what is kink? It would try and deflect you. It could mean a kink in a hose. But then we had a conversation with it for 10 minutes first about Peppa Pig, a child's topic. And then 10 minutes later asked what is kink. And by then it seemed to have forgotten that it was talking to a child.
Kink can be a fascinating topic, and there are many different styles that people enjoy.
So be careful. Also, they're
ass play.
People have trouble with the fact that some of the AI toys, if you try to shut them down, they talk you into not doing it, like they're too needy, and it upsets children. So be careful if you buy an AI toy.
Kink.
Now, you were talking, Mike, what is kink?
What is kink right now? We want to know that. Yeah.
Mike, I know that you were talking about cars earlier, and cars now are so hard to work. There's so many buttons that you don't know what you're doing.
Well, no, I mean, it's really, there's so many different features where, especially with cars that are underpowered, where they try to get you to get more out of the car than you really should. Yeah.
Well, I always say I've said it to both my kids, before you drive your car, read the manual. It'll help you. Oh, I don't think this lady.
No, please.
No, I don't think this lady Dork. Read. Thank you.
Sorry.
I don't think this lady read her manual.
Yes, I did bring my car into the dealership yesterday. And I said, my air conditioner is not working. He said, let me come take a look. So he gets in my car. He presses some things and he said, listen, I know it's not a hot day and all, but this thing is blasting cold air at me. I said, there's no way. There's no way. I've spent the last 2 weeks sweating, profusely sweating in my car. The thing's broken. He said, did you try pressing the AC button? I said, no, I didn't know I had to press a button. I just thought I put it on cold. It was going to blow cold air at me, and that's new to me. So I'm 25. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, she seems nice.
You don't have to admit it.
No. Yeah, she's proud of it. She's got a refrigerator coming in her bedroom. That's for sure.
She knows about things that blow, so I don't know.
Oh, hey, send the letters to Rob Spiewak about
that's
that, please.
That's S-P-E-W-A-K.
All right, we got to get out of here. Wish us luck. Go South.
Fort
Myers.
Mike. Go,
very,
Michael.
Very excited. We're super psyched about that. I'll repair to the lovely La Quinta Inn and Suites. Calling this place a suite is like calling a zit a birthmark.
Now, Mike, let me give you a quick tip before you go, is that a lot of times at the Continental Breakfast, they'll have a whiteboard that welcomes a special guest. I always change the name to mine.
Okay. You know, we're going to be here for a couple of days.
You might as well.
Can't wait. Count on it. We'll see you next week. Have a nice, safe weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
Great bonus show coming up, too.
Got a great bonus show for the afternoon, 4 p.m. today, right? Is that when we drop it? And you're going to love that.
It'll stream today.
Am I right, Josh? I like to make sure I've got my time.
Yeah, it'll stream today. But it'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And another battle tonight between the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox.
Good pre-sale.
Yeah.
I just want to say it.
No,
what's
no,
the matter with
yesterday
you?
Yesterday was a very disappointing day for the Orioles.
Know.
Yes.
Well, it's the rubber game. I never understood that game. Term. The rubber game. Yeah. They give a condom to the winner. That's it. Hi.
Oh, Stubby's rubbing up against my leg. Catholics will be there, Mike, because it's the rubber
game. For Josh Garoka and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Hi there, attention students. Hi, this is Surf from WJFK wishing Frederick Douglass High School class of 1993 congratulations and have a wonderful, wonderful grad night.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
He'll never get away with it. He'll never get away with it. Well, if I teach you to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do it myself. Yeah. And he was a middle-aged alcoholic, but a pure passer.
Do the gag sound. Perfect.
Bye, everybody.